Alrighty, welcome to episode 41 of the Rated NA podcast for NerdAppropriate.com.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
How's it going?
Awesome.
Excellent.
I want to apologize off the bat because hopefully this one will be out on time. But as of last episode, when you hear what my news was, we got behind for a couple weeks on the podcast, but we are actually putting them all out together.
Yay. So, a gift pack.
A gift pack of podcasts. And I've been listening to them. And they're kind of funny because they're like still somewhat relevant somehow, which is weird. We talked about stuff that's new enough that it works.
That's good. So. That's good.
If we're going to put them out later, we should just make some outlandish predictions so that when they do come out, people will just think that we're crazy.
We should just do a totally bullshit episode where it's like, it's March and we're playing Mass Effect 3. It's fucking great and no one else is playing it but us. We should totally do a lie episode. What do you think?
Let's do it.
That'd be awesome.
So up this week, we've got news about the Mass Effect 3 beta. We've got some Gears 3 DLC. We are going to actually update our TV Death Watch, which has a lot of movement on it. Scott's been keeping it up to date, so hopefully you've been checking that link. World of Warcraft, still around.
It is.
Just making sure it's still relevant to everybody.
Clinging to life.
Then we have an assload of reviews.
We do.
An assload.
A virtual poopacopia, as they say.
We've got Ash and I played Batman Arkham City. I tried to trip you up there.
You see what I said?
You said shitty.
I tried to.
But I read it correctly.
Oh, damn it. Shit.
Mass Effect Invasion number 1, which is the new comic out on Dark Horse. We've got The Thing. We are going to do a mini review of Spider-Man Edge of Time. Grimm, the new show out this Sunday. This coming Friday. We've got demo reviews for Dance Central 2 and Need for Speed, The Run. I'm going to cut that silence out so that I didn't have to figure out what NFS was in my brain.
Need for Speed, The Run.
And then Dragon Age Redemption episode number 2, Did It Get Better? We will find out.
We will.
And then our Twitter question this week is Batman Arkham City related, of course, because the game is phenomenal. Why are comic book games generally so terrible, and how did Rocksteady pull off the impossible? So, yeah. So what have you been up to, Scott? I mean, we know, but what have you been up to?
Yeah, I had to go out of town on business this week, and the place where this meeting was...
Business.
He builds robots.
We've said many times before, we all have jobs, and we have to do things sometimes that aren't this.
Many,
so,
many times, definitely.
The place that I went to, where the meeting was, it was like a campus. So the meeting, the hotel room, and the cafeteria were all on the same campus. So I literally did not see any of Baltimore, and I ate in the same cafeteria.
Which is a shame, because Baltimore is actually pretty cool.
I ate in the same cafeteria 9 times.
Nice.
Because the meals were comped, and I didn't feel like traveling to spend money or taking a cab or anything. So it was like 9 days of... You know, like the guy cutting the weird meat for you and like random steam vegetables.
I think I kind of like that. I used to love when I lived in Tampa and went to school there. Yeah. I used to love eating in the cafeteria.
Yeah, no, I mean,
there's something about it.
It's definitely okay, but
institutional.
I think when
life.
You're in a city though that you know has good food outside of where you are, you know.
From what I understood, the closest restaurant to the place that I was staying in was Bob Evans.
I was gonna say TGI Fridays or something.
So I just kind of toughed it out. But
I understand that.
Happy to be back, and that's why everything is.
How
so
was your robot conference? Can you talk about artificial intelligence at all without the snipers getting you?
No.
Nope. Knew it. Knew it.
No, I can't really, but it was kind of cool because they did, like, for whatever reason, that one of the manufacturers brought, like, for no reason at all, brought like Dragon Runners and like mini Talon, like Talon robots and stuff like that. And
really?
they were just in the room with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And it was kind of neat just to get close enough for one to see.
When we went to DC on our honeymoon, we went to the Air and Space Museum. And I had never actually seen any of like the Predators or anything up close. And those things are huge.
Oh, some of them are really big.
Yeah, they're big for unmanned, you know, remote controlled drones.
Some of them carry
around.
Weapons. So,
well, they did. Yeah. I mean, this one had like a machine gun loaded on the front of it.
Yeah, so that was my week, and I'm just happy to be back. How about you guys?
Good deal. Let's see. Well, been working a lot as per usual. I pulled a total like hibernation last night and got home from work and laid down on the couch at like 7 o'clock and woke up at 8 this morning. So I totally a coma. But I picked up Arkham City this week, and been playing that. It's been really good. And I also got around to watching Red State night before last.
Oh, yeah, you texted me.
Yeah, I watched Red State, and not to go off on a re-review, but holy crap, man, you were right.
Yeah.
I was kind of in shock with that movie. Like,
when shit starts going down, it goes down.
Well, like I told Christina when she walked in, I'm like that movie was just really kind of surreal because it, like, I've seen a lot of movies. Normally, I can pick out who directed them, and like if you gave me $1,000 to guess who directed that movie, I would have not said Kevin Smith.
Well, and it was oddly not far fetched, so the whole thing felt like hyper real. Like you were like in this kind of real world. I don't know.
It's
to me.
Very, very gritty, almost like Steven Soderbergh, like just mixed with like Eli Roth levels of like total
carnage,
disgusting, like human explosions and stuff like that. Yeah. So pretty awesome.
Did you kind of like mini cheer when John Goodman showed up too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love John Goodman. I love John Goodman. I mean, he like, it makes me sad because he's been around for so long. He's finally starting to look old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, man, John Goodman can't get old. He just needs to stay.
But they're good roles, though. I mean, he's getting these cool, like, tough guy distinguished kind of roles.
Yeah,
cool.
No, I love the guy. He's awesome. So, I liked Red State a lot. And what else did I watch? I watched Community this week. I watched the, I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Oh,
but
I missed this week's.
The Time Vortex.
Oh, no, that one was last week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's the one I watched. I guess I'm behind. I'm watching them on DVR. But that one was
I don't think they had any shows this week.
Oh, good.
The Office or Community or
New Girl
maybe they did,
or anything.
But I didn't see it.
I'm way behind, too. I don't know.
Did you watch the Time Vortex?
That episode was awesome.
Freaking unbelievable. Like, every time they roll the dice, there's an alternate timeline that springs up, and they play through all the alternate timelines.
Yeah,
of what would happen? Yeah,
so seven different playthroughs of the same.
It's all
story.
About who's gonna go get the pizza at the door during a party, and they play through each scenario. Whoever goes and gets the pizza, different things happen to the community crew.
That's
and
awesome.
One is like so fucking outlandish. Like Chevy gets shot.
Yeah,
fucking the apartment catches on fire. There's like this little demonic troll that's like running around. It's brilliant. And finally,
that
I feel like
awesome.
I didn't really love the first couple episodes. They were good. It's always good.
Yeah,
I didn't love them, but this was the first one that I was actually laughing out loud.
Yeah,
in a while. So
definitely.
I'm kind of glad that it's back to form.
I watched it. It was really good. They tweeted Dan Harmon tweeted a picture of the whiteboard that they used to create that episode.
Oh wow!
And it's awesome. It's the entire whiteboard with like it had these like pie charts with lines going off of them where they would go and how different things were going to play out. It was really cool.
That is very cool.
I'll see if I can.
I will follow him right now.
Same kind of thing. I actually didn't get Arkham City till yesterday, but got Arkham City. I've been just. I have to inventory pack and sell my entire life right now, so I'm a little overwhelmed with getting stuff done.
Yeah, that's a bit
totally
bit of
wild.
An undertaking.
Working my job is like in freak out time because they know I'm leaving, so it's like I have like a to-do list of like everything that must get finished before I'm gone next week. So
they're in the process of finding somebody new or...
Not yet, because the university is weird. They can't actually hire before I leave.
Oh, okay.
Because of the budget and things. Like, they couldn't bring somebody on while I'm still in the building.
Oh, okay.
So, and also, if you ever wanted to know what I make, our governor released all of the university salaries for unknown reasons whatsoever.
I saw you tweeted that. I didn't know that was...
Was it, like, all government employees or
no,
just...
university employees.
Oh, so all university employees.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep.
That's how about that?
Pretty,
What's his logic behind that?
I mean,
that?
Did they list your name?
He didn't.
I mean, is
yeah.
your...
No.
Wow.
It says my name, says my salary, my job title, says... It has some other little information in there about me.
Your DNA and...
Am I
address.
Listed in this report as well?
If you get a check from the university, there's a good chance. I think it might only be full-time, but you'd have to check.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, whatever. I don't know. That pissed me off. But let's get into the news.
Yes.
So, news. Yesterday, I think it was on like late Thursday, not actually Friday, they... on the Mass Effect 3 BioWare forum, and I actually got tipped to this by Joystick, so I can't hide that. But they announced how we can get into early beta for demo. The demo comes out in January, so they kind of announced the details of what the demo is, and then they announced how you can get into an early beta of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
They only announced one way. They said there's going to be one other way that doesn't require a purchase coming up. But the one way they did announce is if you buy Battlefield 3, you will get a code to get into the an early access. They don't say when, yeah. but I'm assuming around November.
November, December, probably.
Early access to the multiplayer beta of Mass Effect 3.
And it begins.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Scott and I were not purchasing Battlefield 3 at this point. I don't know that this is going to make me purchase Battlefield 3. I guess it's added incentive. Yeah. But yeah. This is obviously EA.
Yeah. This
clearly,
is
this is an EA move.
they try and, you know, you saw when Dead Space came out, they try and link all their titles together under this EA umbrella. Even though that, you know, DICE and BioWare don't have that much to do with one another, they're trying to like link the titles together under the EA umbrella and get fans of, you know, both of the series to kind of join hands and skip through the rainbows together. But I was going to pick up Battlefield. So this to me is just like, yay, cool. But I understand how this would be kind of agitating for those that were not going to pick the game up.
Well, you brought up a good point before the podcast that Amazon's now adding extra incentive to get Battlefield 3, which is like a $20.
Yeah, they're doing a $20 credit now. So do you think that
Battlefield 3 sucks?
Yeah. Do you think that they're worried about the pre-orders or?
I think they are.
I don't know what the financial incentive is, but there is probably not a doubt in my mind that the multiplayer is going to be good.
Battlefield 3, okay, here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think this beta did more damage than it did good for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If me, almost lifelong Battlefield fan, like 12 years now almost. Jeez, has it been 12 years? About, no, 10 or 11 years. But I played the beta and I didn't like it. And for me to say that, that's, you know, like I'm a fanboy. I've always loved Battlefield. So the logic behind picking that map and I don't know why they did it. So I totally agree.
Well, and it felt, I played Battlefield 2 for a little bit, but coming from a non-fanboy, the gameplay honestly just didn't even feel balanced. It felt like when I'm like, you know, a mile away and a soldier's taking me out with his machine gun, it's kind of weird at that point. I'm like, this doesn't feel...
Yeah.
It felt weird. Everything just felt off and... Mm-hmm. The game looked gorgeous and it played really smoothly and there was nothing wrong with the gameplay itself, but it just didn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, I think what happened was that beta came out and it wasn't that great. And then all of a sudden, like you started seeing reviews turn up about like the single player campaign, like not being, I guess because they tried to make it so realistic, it wasn't like interesting from a playing a video game perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is what one impression I saw was. And I think, like you said, that scared a lot of people off. I mean, it scared me off.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get into a game like Battlefield, you know that people are playing that game at a very, like, fine level of detail when it comes to studying, like, trajectory of bullets and how many bullets it takes to kill somebody. And, if you can crouch down behind, like, this one park bench, like, how concealed are you? And I just don't know that I'm ready to spend money on an experience like that right now. I'm in Ash's boat too. I'm a lifelong fan of Battlefield and I think I just want to wait until it comes out and see what happens.
Well, here's another question for you then. You don't want to know anything about Mass Effect. Are you even going to play this beta if it's available?
Let's say
the second method comes out and they're like, the free way to get it is you go buy it, or I doubt it's going to be completely free. I have a feeling they're going to go the way of, I made the joke, but the way of Uncharted and Subway or something.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to go somewhere and buy a Dr. Pepper or whatever it is to get access. So if that happens and it's like a 99-cent purchase to go get early access, are you even going to do it?
I'm going to tread very carefully with the multiplayer.
I've made the decision that I'm going to play the multiplayer beta, but I'm not going to touch the single player demo.
I'm not getting the demo either.
I'm not touching it.
Demos are for it's like entry to me. It's like, why would somebody who's wrapped in the story want to get like
you're
a
not
weird...
gonna be playing as your shepherd. Yeah. It's going to be a random chunk of the story from who knows when.
Yeah.
I don't really see the purpose of playing that. It's like, you know, so the multiplayer,
anyways,
absolutely
Star Wars,
the multiplayer will be fun, especially if you get to try out all the new, you know, the new builds, and you can play as a Krogan and stuff. That's freaking rad. Like, why not? You know?
I think if the impact of the multiplayer component has like a very minimal footprint, like into the single player campaign, then I'll check it out just for fun.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. Don't want to play that single player.
Yeah.
And like we've said before, I think there's kind of like two kinds of games now. There are games that you play for more like the story, like the experience of getting from the beginning to the end. And then there's games like Battlefield, which are kind of like sporting events where you just kind of jump in online and shoot guys and you play with your friends and you have a good time. And, you know, like I've been saying, it's just the kind of the blending of this game from one thing into the other that is kind of like bumming me out. But
yeah, they also said something really quick. And I don't know if you guys read this, but it's shipping for 360 with two discs. And for the first time in 360's history, it's going to have up-res textures that you actually install off the second disc. So all the graphics that you saw in the demo aren't going to be the graphics that you see if you actually install. Now, PlayStation's been doing this for a really long time with long installs on games like Metal Gear Solid 4 and things like that.
Heavy Rain did that, too.
Yeah, Heavy Rain did that. This is the first time a 360 game is ever going to do it, which is interesting.
I think Battlefield 3 is doing it as well.
Is it?
I read that there was that option to install like the high-res texture pack.
Okay.
Which is cool.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I'm very okay cool with that.
They were saying the console, which this kind of blows my mind because the game looks good, the console version of Battlefield 3 is like the lower settings of the PC.
Yeah,
that like if you wanted to actually get full res and like
you
the know, game high that game rate, does look good, like you the know.
PC like is where it's at still.
Yeah, I'm done sitting at the PC. Sorry, PC. Yeah, like, I just Star I can't.
Wars. You got to play Star Wars.
That'll happen. Yeah, that'll happen. I need to find a way to like bring my rig out to the
just
TV
hook it
room
up to the TV and get like a wireless keyboard mouse.
Something dude, like HDMI. That. Almost every laptop. Well, you have a Mac now.
Yeah.
Well, no, because you can play it on there. You can or you don't have a graphics card in there though.
No,
it's a 13-inch. Yeah. Anyways, all right, figure well, Gears of War 3 DLC announced?
Yeah, so the first piece of DLC comes out in November, and that's going to be mainly for Horde mode, and we kind of briefly talked about that. But then the next piece of DLC that has me super excited is called Ram's Shadow, and it actually takes place right around the time of Emergence Day, so it's like a 14-year-old story that, you know, takes about 14 years before.
Emergence Day, you're going to have to remind me of this.
Emergence Day is like, when the locusts first appear, right? And so this DLC is about 3.5 to 4 hours of extra story gameplay. And it doesn't star Marcus and Dom and Delta Squad. It actually stars a lot of characters that are dead currently. So Lieutenant Kim, the guy that gets stabbed in the first game with a big knife by General Rom, he's in it. And Ty from the second game who shoots himself, he's in it. A couple of new characters, and one of the characters, Barrick from the graphic novels, he is leading what's called Zeta Squad, sort of on a suicide mission. And it's just a 4-hour chunk of story with I think 6 to 8 new playable characters and new weapon skins and stuff like that. And it's $10, or if you have the season pass for the DLC, it is free. So
well, included.
Included. Yes.
Can you included still buy the season pass? Is that something that will always be available?
You still can. I think you can get it any time before November 1st when that first piece of DLC comes out. So it's probably worth it. They seem to be really chock full of stuff. It's not just like this DLC is a weapon skin. It's like this is all like stuff that really extends the gameplay, and there's a lot of value to it. So if you're even a moderate fan, there's, you know, a whole lot of stuff that you're getting with that. So
I love me some extra story too with DLC. That's always great.
Oh yeah, it's really cool. The fact that they're going ahead and adding extra story to this, you know, to the game that already has like 12 to 13 hours of story is pretty cool. So
it sounds pretty cool that it sounds cool that instead of extending the story that exists already, they're kind of like filling in gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there were a lot of characters that were like fan favorites, like Ty.
That was a big moment, right? If you're a huge fan.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, caps himself and, he has this long story with Marcus and Delta Squad. And so it's like, oh man, that was kind of a dark moment. And Lieutenant Kim also died in a grisly death. And then Rom was definitely a fan favorite villain who dies at the end of the first game, you know, and they're saying during the campaign, you're going to be able to play as Rom. So really? I don't know how...
Fascinating.
They haven't revealed what that is yet, but I'm assuming one of the characters in the four-player team dies, and then you're going to jump into Rom and play as Rom in the end of it. So it's cool. Yeah,
cool. All right, well, let's jump into our TV Death Watch. Let's do a quick update of things that have been picked up, things that have been canceled. We can kind of run through what the tallied score is so far based on Scott, who's been keeping this whole thing up, which is really awesome.
Well, let's get into it. So we'll just go by network, I suppose.
That's how we have it broken down. We'll just go down the list.
So far, this is what's been confirmed as of the recording of this podcast. So on CBS, Two Broke Girls has been picked up for a full season.
Yes.
Shock.
And How to Be a Gentleman has been canceled.
But they're running it, right?
Yes, canceled after full season is what I wrote. I tried to make notes as to like how many episodes or if they're going to play the rest of them or whatever.
So we all got Two Broke Girls, right? We all said it would go the whole season. And I think if I remember correctly, our logic was that it's CBS and that it's a comedy and it's on right before two or after Two and a Half Men.
Yes.
And it can't really go wrong.
And Whitney Cummings is one of the executive producers of the show.
So she apparently paid somebody well to keep all of her shows on the air.
So for NBC, Playboy Club has been canceled. Gone.
I knew that one wasn't going to last more than a couple episodes.
Three episodes is what that one got. Free Agents has been canceled. Matt, you watched
that show. Which is a shame. That show was really good. It was really good. Really good. Let me rephrase that. The show was good. It was decent enough that it should have at least gotten a season. I think season two could have been a decent show, you know.
And then to our dismay, Whitney has been picked up for a full season. God. Not to our surprise, but to our dismay.
And Up All Night got picked up for the whole season.
Yeah, that's a fantastic show.
That show is fantastic.
That's the show that needs to be in the time slot that Whitney is in, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Because it fits better with those other shows.
Yes, I agree. But 30 Rock's coming, and that's going to boot Whitney out.
Fantastic. Let's see. So for ABC, I haven't seen too much yet.
Just real quick. I watched Last Man Standing, which is that Tim Allen show.
Oh, my God. Why?
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I get bored.
Was it pretty much Home Improvement?
It's weird. The show is not Home Improvement, but he is. Still, he's like basically the same exact character. There's almost no change in his character at all.
Do you get the impression that like maybe IRL Tim Allen is a gigantic asshole? he's funny on TV, but then if you ever met him in person,
I don't know, man. My dad loves him. My dad would watch literally anything.
I know, but you can love the TV him, but I feel like I assume
that all famous people are assholes. So
I just get a weird vibe from him.
Yeah.
Like watching him. But
sorry, I just wanted to let you know that for unknown reasons I watched that.
So Suburgatory has been picked up for a full season, as well as Revenge. Charlie's Angels has been canceled. I think they shot maybe four episodes, are going to air four more, but it's done.
I'm really glad.
And we all thought full season on that one.
I did.
We thought Hawaii 5-0, I think.
Is that show still on?
Yeah, but I think we thought that's what it was.
It's on CBS. Of course it's still on.
Oh, okay.
From what I've read about Charlie's Angels is that the show takes more from the movies than it does from the original. And that's probably why it turned people off. Surprisingly, no news about Pan Am yet either.
Yeah, I don't know how that one's holding on.
I don't know.
Somebody at that station must just have a hard on for that show, because the ratings are not that good.
Has anybody watched it yet?
No.
I haven't watched it.
The ratings aren't good, though, I can tell you that much.
Let's scoot down to Fox. Terra Nova has been, I guess, picked up for the full season. It's going to get 13 episodes and end in a 2-hour finale, just like it started.
Which, as I was saying before, that is its full season, because I believe Alcatraz is picking up when it ends.
Those two each got
half seasons to run for the first
season. Cannot wait for Alcatraz.
It's going to be great.
New
Girl picked up for a full season, which is awesome.
It is.
I don't think, and nothing else on the other shows yet, but I don't even think Alan Gregory has
aired
yet.
Alan Gregory starts in 2 weeks or a week. There's a bunch of stuff
puppet?
Starting. No, it's a cartoon.
Show? Oh, okay.
What is it's Seth?
No, not Seth.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. Yeah.
It's like a Jonah Hill executive produced by Family Guy people.
Not gonna watch it.
No, you're not the audience.
Not a Jonah Hill guy.
He's not a cartoon guy. You don't watch Family Guy. You don't watch Simpsons.
I'm not a Jonah Hill guy. If a cartoon's good, I'll watch it. But
name one cartoon other than Clone Wars that you watch.
Like comedy cartoons?
Yeah.
I watch Thundercast, but that's not a comedy cartoon.
Nope.
No, I don't watch those comedy cartoons. Yeah. You're right.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just not your audience. But.
And then from the CW, I mean, like, you can pretty much, they'll know what's going to happen with these shows right away. So obviously all of the new shows have already have judgment passed on them. Heart of Dixie, Ringer, and The Secret Circle have all been picked up.
Wow.
Of course. Hater has been canceled.
Not soon enough.
So,
man, didn't we all guess Hater like one episode or something like that?
I gave it a half season, which was wrong. You gave it one, and Scott gave it seven. So split.
We split.
Oh, we split. Enough.
Yeah, because it got four.
Oh man.
So just to tally up where we are as of this recording of this podcast, Matt is in the lead with 12.
Ooh.
Ash has 11.
Ooh.
And I have 9.
Man,
I think I was a little too generous with some of these.
Yeah. So
that's a Death Watch. Looking forward to Alcatraz, yes. As well as something we talked about, or something I talked about, Awake on NBC.
Looks really good too.
And then you said Grimm is starting. We're going to be talking about that.
We're
going
to talk about that in the reviews
later in the podcast.
And if you're looking for ABC's Wednesday night comedies, are all pretty solid. Between Suburgatory, Modern Family, and then Happy Endings, which is the Casey Wilson vehicle that Ash and I have talked about.
Love her.
But a solid night of comedy, and then Thursday you got NBC comedy. You can get straight through the Fox. You got New Girl Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Shit.
Where's my sci-fi?
Yeah, there's nothing fucking.
It's coming. Couple shows. You got Terra Nova, and then you got Alcatraz, Awake, and then Grimm and Once Upon a Time.
I did watch an episode of Person of Interest too, and you know that's okay.
It's okay.
It'll fill the gap.
All right. Well, Ash, tell us about WoW.
Okay, so BlizzCon is currently happening as we are recording this, so they're announcing a lot of big things. The biggest for WoW players and WoW fans is the next big expansion. It's named the Mists of Pandaria. Let me ask you guys this: do you know what a Pandaren is?
I do not.
Is it a panda mixed with a
librarian?
Is it a librarian panda?
It is a
Holy
librarian
shit.
Panda.
Voiced by Jack Black.
So it's like a really like, it's like a hot panda if the panda were to let its hair down.
Yeah, with the horn-rimmed glasses. Yeah. well, in reality, that would be much more exciting than what I'm about to describe to you. But the Pandarens are a race of panda people that live
in
don't
even the, try anymore, do they?
Live in the World of Warcraft, and they've been around for actually quite some time, and fans have always been clamoring for the Pandarens to be a playable race. And now Blizzard, in a last-ditch effort to maintain its fan base, says, you know what, we're going to give them their panda people. And now the Pandarens have been announced as a playable race for both factions. So both Alliance and Horde can play as the Pandarens. And the level cap is being raised to level 90.
Jesus.
Level 90. Yay. Along with, of course, new talents and
epic loots,
new lands, and so, you know, that's pretty much it. And they're also saying there's a new thing they're doing. You can buy a year-long pass to World of Warcraft I don't really know the price, but if you get the year-long pass, you're going to get Diablo 3 for free.
Hey-o.
What?
They're going to give you Diablo 3, so I'm assuming the year-long pass is relatively expensive.
Yeah.
But they're going to give you Diablo 3 if you get the year.
So would you say they're just pandering to their fans at this point?
Oh man, that was good. yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, I've
as a former World of Warcraft player,
I feel dirty. I feel really dirty. Like I feel like a horrible person for having ever had so much love for this company. What? I really do.
This what? Company or this game?
This company.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm over it.
I'm over it because, like, they...
I'm a little over the... And I'm getting this way with Valve, too. This like, yeah, we'll just do it when we want.
Yes.
Like, we don't care. We'll just keep the game with
I'm
us
over.
For as long as we fucking feel like it. You'll buy it anyways. Who cares? You know,
it's
like,
not friendly. It's not like...
Compare it to, like, a BioWare who puts out consistently good games.
And talks to their community.
Talks to their community and doesn't just do whatever they want and take as long as they feel like. They might push a game.
Yeah, but they're going to tell you why.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you why they push stuff, and they're going to talk to you. And they're not this secretive, like... It just reminds me of, like... this mega, you know, super conglomeration, super corporation that just doesn't give a shit about the little people anymore, and it's just like, oh, we're gonna split our game into three parts, charge full price for all of them.
Yeah,
we're
that just gonna StarCraft.
We're just gonna, you know, and just thing after thing, and now like icing on the cake. And I'm sorry for all you Blizzard fans. I was just so I don't get hate mail. I was a Blizzard fan for a very long time, years and years.
We all were, didn't you? Yes. Were you a big Blizzard guy? I was a huge Blizzard guy before WoW.
Yeah,
I was like a pre-WoW Blizzard guy.
And even WoW, I played WoW for years and years and years, but the account security thing, I don't even have my account anymore, and I get emails every 3 days like, your account's trying to be sold by someone in Korea. And I'm like, how is this happening? Like, I have a fucking authenticator attached to my phone. Like, I don't download anything. I don't even have the game installed on my computer, and I'm still getting account security warnings from like across the globe. There's like definitely a major security breach with World of Warcraft that I don't.
You know, you want to know what the real problem is?
Hmm.
And it's the same for both companies. Valve and Blizzard both found alternate revenue streams and just decided, well, we don't have to do anything else for a while. We've got WoW coming in, and we've got Steam money coming in, and we don't have to worry about making games to make our company successful at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know? The thing is, their games are great. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, Diablo 3 is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
If you're a WoW fan, I'm sure Mist of Panda Pants is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm sure the new Blizzard MMO Titan is going to be insane when it actually comes out.
Yeah.
But
when?
Exactly. And I don't know. I don't like that their lack of community, really.
I agree. It's disheartening. The year pass thing, at first, what I initially thought was like, oh, maybe it'll be like $50. You get the whole year, and then you get like, you know, whatever, the original download of the game. You don't have to buy it if you somehow don't have it at this point.
Yeah.
But like, it's probably going to be at least full price, and then you just get Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. So anyway, so Miss of Pandera for you WoW fans. Sorry about my rant, but I'm tired of getting emails saying that people are trying to hack my life having played WoW in the past.
Do you have any final thoughts, Scott?
No, I miss games that you could just buy, and then like that was it. You know, like the game, like I have the game on the disc, and this is the game.
Yeah.
And like there's too many tendrils now getting into.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, one of the biggest problems, not to go on a WoW rant, is if you were to just go, I'm going to go buy World of Warcraft.
You have like a quarter of the game.
It would be not even anymore. God, you'd have like a tenth of the game, and it would take you, I don't know, a week to patch it before you could actually play it. Wow. I mean, it's freaking ridiculous.
And then on top of that, like you will never get to the end of that game if you were to buy WoW now.
Yeah, it would take you quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll be right back with some reviews in just 1 second. Reviews. We are back for reviews. We have a lot of them. We've got like 7 today, but we're going to rip through some of them. We all just read Scott read it a little while ago, but the Mass Effect comic out on Dark Horse. This new series is called Invasion. It takes place on Omega, seemingly, and is about Arya.
Yes.
And it is good.
Yeah. And it is really good.
I was totally into it. I'm a big Arya fan.
Scott, do you want to run through the story real quick?
I believe what is happening is that Reaper ships, or something that has been created by Reapers, is returning through the relays surrounding Omega and attacking the colony.
Yes.
And Arya, you know, being the pirate queen, is not down with that. She notices that the ships that the bad guys are coming in on are Cerberus ships.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not happy about that. And if you need to know why, it's in the novel that precedes this comic book, which is,
we'll talk about that for a second, because it definitely gave you some background that Ash and I do not have.
Yeah. How much do you want me to talk about it? A lot?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Totally. Feel free.
So in the second Mass Effect novel, it's about the Ascension Project, and this character, Paul Grayson, whose daughter is in the Ascension Project. Paul Grayson is a Cerberus agent, and basically
who's hooked on drugs.
Who's hooked on the red sand. And I think he was sort of
spice, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. He was masquerading he was the father, but he was reporting back to Cerberus what's happening in the Ascension Project. So
yeah, Ascension Project. The rundown of that is it's a school for kids to sort of harness their mass power. What is it called? Not mass powers. They're
like biotic abilities.
Yeah, biotic abilities. Yeah, it's a biotic school.
So I guess that we should probably say this is going to get a little spoilery. That was the second novel, which has been out for a long time, but we're going to talk about the third novel in this comic. So if you don't want to hear it, skip ahead. So in the third book, pretty much what happens at the end of the second book, Paul Grayson decides to protect his daughter, send her off with the Quarians on a deep mining space vessel, and he leaves Cerberus. So he's on the run. So in the third novel, he's on the run from Cerberus, and the elusive man captures him.
Ooh.
And using Reaper technology that he got at the end of Mass Effect 2, he basically turns Paul Grayson into a Reaper vessel, if you will. So the Reapers end up controlling Paul Grayson for much of this novel. And the novel's about how the elusive man basically is trying to track him down and kill him and gets tangled up back in the Ascension Project and stuff like that again. But the gist of what makes this relevant for the comic is that we learned that Cerberus is experimenting with Reaper technology in order to understand it better. But then there's consequences, obviously, because now, Paul Grayson runs amok and he gets onto Omega and does some stuff. And now in the comic book, we see that Cerberus ships with like access codes are now coming to Omega and attacking the space station.
Yes. Seemingly of their own volition.
Yeah. And Arya was wrapped up in that novel too, because the elusive man sort of tricked her into giving troops to help track down Paul Grayson as well.
Mm.
So she's in this comic book now. Reaper, I can't remember, what did they call these guys in this book? The Reaper guys, they're like, it's a word that sounds like mutant, but it's not.
I will look it up while we're talking.
So these Reaper dudes are now attacking the space station, flying on Cerberus ships, which is not really explained between the book and this. But Cerberus, the elusive man, is sending his own forces to try and stop them.
Pretty good comic. I was pretty impressed with it. Very action-packed issue. I think every page pretty much has action.
It got started much faster than the series.
Redemption.
Yeah, the series before this.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Here's the weird part is I like the art in this one better, and the story is definitely a little bit more like in-your-face, like action-packed. But the weird thing is it's drawn and written by the same exact people.
Yeah, yeah.
As Redemption. It's not a different team whatsoever.
Maybe there was some feedback about that.
Yeah, because the art felt really flat in the Redemption. And then the story just was kind of boring, honestly. I mean, it just didn't really go anywhere. Adjutants?
Like, it sounds like...
Adjutants?
It sounds like the words adjusted and mutants.
Yes.
Like, combined into one word.
Cool. Adjutant. And these are the things that I've actually seen screenshots of in Mass Effect 3 running around.
Yeah, they're so sort of, like, super deformed.
They're, like, weird half Reaper-y bug people.
And yes. I assume this is probably similar to what Paul Grayson looked like in the previous novel. So what we see in this book and in the novel is that we're seeing a lot of interaction between Cerberus and Arya. So Arya figures to play prominently.
And the books definitely too, but it seems like this comic is a worthwhile pickup for lead into Mass Effect 3 if you want to start.
Looks like the invasion's already in full swing. You know, that's kind of like where we're headed with all this canon story.
Yeah, pretty much this invasion is starting at Omega.
Yeah.
And then there's also a novel coming out in January. But unfortunately, the other three novels have been written by Drew...
Carpition,
and this one is not. So I hope it can stand up to the same quality.
Yeah, as long as the team accepts this novel, then I'm fine. It doesn't really have to be a Drew Carpition story.
True,
but
true.
Awesome.
So definitely good. Pick it up. It's Mass Effect Invasion is this series is what it's called. Number one is out now. And actually, I think if you love it and you really want to dig into the rest of the comics, I think they've collected all the other ones into trades now.
Cool.
So you can go pick up the trades for the other Mass Effect books too. But it's good. So Ash, you went and saw The Thing.
I did. I went and saw The Thing.
Which is actually a prequel?
It is a prequel. It takes place a couple days before the original, I think, 1980.
Days? Really?
Couple days. So this is about the dig team that actually uncovers the alien and the alien ship, spoiler alert, from the original thing.
You don't say it and then say spoiler alert.
So the, I mean, I think
he sees dead people. Spoiler alert.
I think it's in the I think it's in the trailer, so I didn't really spoil too much. But so yeah, it takes place a couple days before the original film and ties the two together perfectly. As a matter of fact, I think it would be an awesome double feature because it ties the two stories together so well. But for those that are unfamiliar with the premise of The Thing, it takes place in Antarctica. They dig up an alien life form unlike anything the world has ever seen before.
Let's just pause you.
Yes.
If you're unfamiliar with The Thing, go on Netflix right now and watch John Carpenter's The Thing.
It's
frigging amazing. You've never seen it, really? Not to do that to you. I know we always used to joke about doing that to you, but it is honestly one of his best movies ever.
It's just really not my wheelhouse, but I will add it to my queue.
It's worth it.
I think you'll like it, man. Yeah, I really do. It does. The thing that makes The Thing, the thing that makes The Thing so entertaining and so kind of knocks you off balance is the fact that it can replicate DNA. So what it does is it doesn't just like shape change into you. It kind of takes over your body and destroys it from the inside out. So if I were The Thing right now, I could like put my hand on your face and my hand would kind of melt into your face and then you would slowly be taken over. And then when I felt like erupting out of you and exploding and turning into like a hideous creature, I could do that. So you never know really who The Thing is. And The Thing is smart enough to replicate human behavior as well. So there's like a definite sense of constant paranoia and you never know what's what or who's who. And eventually, you know, they figure out ways to distinguish who is The Thing and who is not The Thing. But it's really, really well done. Really, really tense. A lot of crazy flamethrower action. You know, they don't really have many guns on this Antarctic base, but they do have, for some reason, a whole lot of flamethrowers.
So they're not like improvised? They're like actually...
No, they're actually like, this is just a fucking flamethrower.
Maybe to melt ice?
Maybe to melt ice. I mean, if I went to Antarctica...
It's very logical.
Flamethrower. Yeah. But really well done. I was more impressed than I thought I was going to be. My wife actually enjoyed it as well. It's not scary in the pop-out, you know, scary, or necessarily the... so scared that you're going to like, you know, vomit on yourself. But it's almost like if someone dropped a roach on your back, that's kind of like uncomfortable, like, ah, get this fucking thing away from me, scary. That's the kind of scary that it is. And it's, you know, like a very good old fashioned monster movie.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Probably due just to practicality. One of the amazing things of the first one is the fact that like, you don't really see much for the majority of the movie. Like it's very like creepy, kind of slow build, you know, terrifying because you have no idea what's going on. You don't know what is anything. You don't see any monsters really for like, until towards the very end.
Well,
do they do that kind of thing or is it a little bit more modern horror?
It's definitely more modern than the original, but, it's still subtle in a lot of parts. Like you don't really see any sort of monster for the first 25 minutes. You know, it's kind of character building time. And, but they do, I mean, the visual effects, in my review, I wrote this,
I think they did a lot of traditional, didn't they?
They did a lot of traditional, but the CG that they use is so well done that it almost looks like practical effects. Like you never say, oh, that's so CG. Yeah. It's so like, you know, exactly, Scott, imagine a fucking necromorph in a film. And that is pretty much, the necromorphs are ripoffs of The Thing.
Yeah.
So when you see someone, you see someone in dead space, like their head split and like a big tentacle fucking thing with fangs and claws, like come skittering at you. That is The Thing.
That sounds awesome.
It's virtually identical. So like that in film form is what you're looking at in The Thing too.
All right.
So it's really jarring and just kind of awesome. Like not something you want to have crawling at you. So
not a redo, but a worthy addition to The Thing.
Yeah, absolutely. A great
prequel.
Why
did they call it the same exact title? I don't really know that idea. But
I think it's simplicity. You know, most people aren't going to remember, other than people from our circle, aren't going to remember the original, unfortunately.
Awesome. And it is available. The original is available on Netflix. So if you were looking to get the whole shebang, you can go get both of them together.
Indeed.
So this is going to be a really quick review because I didn't play a ton of it, but I did pick up Spider-Man Edge of Time and play it this week. It is the latest in this kind of non-movie related comic book game put out about Spider-Man. They did what was the one before it?
There have been a lot of Spider-Man games lately.
Was it Edge of Darkness or
was it Edge of Darkness? Is that what it was called?
What's this one called?
Edge of Time.
Okay. And then there was like two Spider-Mans or something, right?
This one actually has the 2099 Spider-Man and the regular Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Interesting.
So back in the 90s, they split off and, you know, they were like, I forget what happened to spark this, but they were like, we should do a future comic. And they did a series of comics called Blah 2099. So
I remember
there was Spider-Man. I think there was Doom. There X-Men. Was X-Men. And then there was, I don't remember. I know I read Doom and Spider-Man, weirdly, and X-Men. I read them all. But so the story on this one is that basically the Spider-Man from 2099, his like main villain guy goes back in time to like take over the world essentially with the knowledge that he has from 2099. And then time starts kind of fracturing. And then they make this loophole where Spider-Man from 2099 can talk to Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Neither one of them are weirded out by it. They're totally, it's like a normal thing.
Interesting.
There might be some backstory that I missed there as to why that's okay, but whatever. The only thing I really wanted to talk about in the game, it's relatively fun. It's nothing super special. It's just a beat 'em up. You run around. It's kind of like button mash, the X button, you know, hit the A button every once in a while. Web swinging is totally fun. The mechanics work relatively well. The one thing that is pretty awesome about this, and it's maybe it happened in the last one, but I don't remember it being talked about, is they go into this crazy isometric view when you start wall climbing. And the camera will just kind of swing around you and you get these like really narrow views of like where you're crawling. And it's very, it's like, I don't know. It feels like, I don't know how best to describe it. It feels like when you see cameras just like swing around something, yeah, you
almost,
know,
sounds like it almost goes to first person wall crawling.
It kind of does go into first person, but you're a little bit behind. Yeah. It's like three quarter view almost, but on a wall. So, but you lose what's up and down. Like they just completely throw it out the window. You just climb. Like you can climb and you'll start like climbing. You'll be upside down technically, but the camera will just like swing around and start doing it. It's really interesting. Cool. It's a different way to do something. I don't know that I would buy this game by any means. It really didn't grab me at all. I thought it would. I thought I might get a little Captain America out of it where I was like, oh, at least it's fun to play.
Yeah.
But it just was kind of...
We talked about this offline, but how does this compare to X-Men?
Which you did not like.
You did not like X-Men.
Yeah, yeah. It's much better than Destiny. I think the mechanics are a lot smoother. The play is a little more fun. It's better than X-Men. It's not what the other game we're going to talk about today. It's not even remotely close to Arkham City, but it's better than X-Men. Worth a rent if you were bored and you saw it cheap.
I found your Spider-Man video game titles while you were talking.
Yeah.
Edge of Time, Shattered Dimensions. Web of Shadows, mm-hmm. Friend or Foe, mm-hmm. Spider-Man 3, Battle for New York.
Well, those are, now you're getting into when the movies were out.
I'm going backwards. Yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So those are the games.
The other thing is they did just announce Amazing Spider-Man, which is going to come out with the comic and the movie, I think. With the comic, the relaunch of the comic. And that storyline's pretty cool. But I think it's done by the same studio. So it seemingly will be the same game again.
My question is, why do you think they went to such a fucking bizarre time-traveling Spider-Man? Like, what the fuck?
With 2099 like, Spider-Man?
No, even, like, why have time-traveling at all in Spider-Man? It's like never... I mean, out of the literally thousands of Spider-Man comics that exist in the world, time travel's probably in about 10 of them.
Yeah.
So why would you bother? Like,
I think they just need to continually make ideas... I mean, really, this game is put out because I think it's a safe title for parents to buy their kids. I don't think it's aimed at us and being like a cool comic book game. I think it's like, oh, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
$40. Here you go, kid.
Why not do like a really, like, really well done Revenge of the Sinister Six title where, like, you know, you can swing around Manhattan and like.
I'm going to say, let's pause this conversation because I think it's that goes into our open thread pretty easily.
I agree. You're right.
So next quick review, I watched a preview of Grimm coming out on this coming Friday.
Please tell me it's good.
28th?
Yep.
It's awesome.
What?
Yeah, loved it. I loved every fucking minute of it.
Of Grimm?
Yes.
Now this is the one where the Grimms are like a family that do
Right. This is the one where there's a lineage of Grimms that see the world in an alternate way. Basically, all of the fairy tales are true. So all of these, like, but they're like totally sinister. So like the big bad wolf hunting Red Riding Hood and like murdering her and killing her, and the, you know, Hansel and Gretel, all these are real stories.
Yes.
And then basically there's a lineage of Grimms that these evil characters are kind of like hunting to kill and get rid of. And the new guy happens to be a detective. And basically his aunt, I think it was, dies within the first 20 minutes, and he becomes the next in line to be the fighter. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't feel like pausing. I don't know who created it, but it is written. It's written really well. It's very kind of Monster of the Week, I think.
I think it's kind of one of the Buffy producers.
That's the Once Upon a Time, I thought.
Oh, really? I don't know. I'll double check.
I thought Once Upon a Time had Buffy, but yeah, if you could look it up. It's very Monster of a Week feeling, but with a good overarching kind of story about following this guy. He has a wife that the aunt tells him he can't be, or he has a girlfriend that he's going to marry, and the aunt, you know, of course, they create that kind of love story where it's like, you can't be around her anymore because of what's going on with you. And he kind of starts going crazy because basically he'll be walking down the street and he'll just like see one of the people like shift into the other world character, and then and no one else can see it. No one else knows what's going on.
Former Buffy writer producer.
It is former Buffy.
David Greenwalt and Angel writer producer Jim Kauf are writing the executive producer.
So this is that does make a lot of sense then, because this is what I was gonna say. Whereas Terra Nova feels very Stargate to me and has a ridiculous multi-million-dollar budget, and I still feel like it looks low budget. This feels very Buffy to me, but with a good budget and with I know this is heresy. I'm not a Buffy fan.
It's okay.
The Buffy that I have watched and the Angel that I have watched, I never got into the characters.
Yeah.
And it was a little too Whedon-y for me sometimes.
Yeah.
And this kind of strips some of that Joss Whedon feel out and makes it a little bit not gritty, but a little bit more less like hokey joke and like more like, oh, this happened, you know, like, oh, Jesus, you know, like something just happens. And it's just written really well. It was really cool. Shot awesomely. The effects looked great. When people switch in and out of their like other world to the current world characters, it looked really good. Which of course means that this is going to get canceled within two episodes or three episodes.
That would suck.
But I really liked it. So, I don't know if you have anything you guys wanted to talk about, but I'm
just looking forward to it. Looks great.
I'm going to check it out now. When is the actual premiere?
Friday.
This Friday?
8. I think it's a two-hour premiere, too, possibly.
Solid.
Or an
it's
hour
starting its run on a Friday night?
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
That's
Paired with Chuck.
Okay, cool.
So it's paired with Chuck, which I know is not a good thing for viewers.
It's the last season of Chuck, is it not?
It is the last season.
Again, the last season of Chuck.
Hey, go Chuck.
I just hope that they're not. I'm hoping that expectations aren't so high that it needs to have some 14 million viewers to keep going, because this is a show that's going to get 3-4
million.
Is it
going to be on against Fringe?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, come on. What are you doing to me?
But it's good. It was really good. So highly recommended. Watch Grib coming up next week, Friday.
Good. Well, I'm glad you liked it, because now I'm actually going to check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't on my radar before because I thought the premise sounded kind of goofy, but
It's cool. Definitely Monster of the Week, though. I mean, be ready for that. It's not like they've got some crazy storyline.
Sure.
I mean, they do, but it's not. It's Monster of the Week's what's going to drive episode to episode,
right?
So, Scott,
having just got back in town, I wanted to play something, so I looked to see what demos were out currently, and I played two of them. Just want to talk about them quickly. I'll talk about the second one first, which is Need for Speed the Run. I think this demo's been available for a while.
Is this the one that's the takeoff on Cannonball Run, where you basically race across the entire country?
Yeah,
into this. I'm not into racers, but I think this is a fucking, I've always wanted this.
Yeah, I'm a fan of arcade racing games, so not realistic sims, but like the Need for Speed series, which is kind of like ridiculous, over the top, you know, kind of racing. So in this game, your character is racing from San Francisco to New York. And I'm assuming there's like some kind of monetary compensation for doing this in first place. But from what I've played, you get to play a couple of the environments on a couple of different game modes. So I played one challenge. It's oddly enough, it's still very similar to the last Need for Speed game, which I don't remember the name of. But the challenges are like, you know, pass so many cars before you, before you get to the finish line, or I did a race where, you were like racing down the side of a mountain, like in the snow, and you basically had to beat one opponent, but avoid obstacles at the same time. And the thing that I thought was impressive about this is that this game runs on the Frostbite 2 engine.
Interesting. Oh,
really? Yeah. So, it looks like
they're Kinect enabled.
Not that I saw, but I think that they were trying, what they're trying to do is it looks like they're trying to inject a little bit more of a story, like a narrative into this game. Because I believe in the last Need for Speed, you basically were given a map with, maybe 50 nodes on it, and you just picked a node and did the race on that course. And then that was the end of it.
Yeah.
But now on this one, you can kind of see, you do a challenge, but you're still progressing through this overarching story of you trying to race to New York.
Yeah. I actually really like that. That's kind of, isn't Christina Hendricks from Mad Men in this game?
If she is, there's no, like, none of that story dialogue was in the game.
Okay. I think she's like on the box.
Oh, cool. You got, to, I mean, all I got to do was play two of the races. Yeah. They're going to need a bigger cover.
whoa. Hey, oh, hey. Whoa. Hey, whoa. Hey.
Right. That was a little sexist. I apologize.
Every week we lose two female fans.
Yeah, no.
It's okay.
No. So what was cool about this is, like I was saying, I did like one of the challenges was just race down the mountain.
Yeah.
You were racing against one person, but with the Frostbite engine, there were like explosions happening and like debris falling onto the on the race course. And it was actually a lot of fun.
Awesome. So Dance Central 2?
Yeah. I think there was something else I was going to say about this game.
Sorry.
But it's gone now, so it's not important.
Do you play as a specific character, or can you choose a character?
You choose the car.
You choose a car.
Yeah, that's really the appeal of these games, is that it's like you get to race in a Lamborghini or whatever.
Okay, cool.
And I think it's one character. Man, I had that thing, and when you asked that question, I just lost it again.
Sorry.
Damn.
Christina
Hendricks. We know where he is, yeah.
No, you asked that question, and I was hanging on to what I was going to say, and then... Yeah.
We know where your brain went.
You know what you're hanging on to.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Oh, you remember.
Something about racing games.
Yes.
You know, traditional racing games, you're like 1 against 12, but really you just have to get into first place, which is always the point. And I feel like they're trying to address some of this in this game, because it's just 1-on-1 racing or just past 10 cars. Because really the only winnable objective in any racing game is first place.
That's true.
Which I thought was always stupid, and now they're just kind of embracing it. So check out the demo. Dance cool. Central 2. Do you like Dance Central 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fine. It's fucking awesome. I'm sorry.
So this, just more moves, more songs.
Yeah.
New and characters.
I think the big things they've added to this game, and I haven't had a chance to try it yet, is two people can dance at the same time.
Yes.
Which is super cool. The other thing that they did, which I thought was nice, is that if you go into the practice mode to like break it down, I think is what they call it. You can actually select specific dance moves to practice, as opposed to having to go through the whole practice routine like in one shot.
My real question here is, does Harmonix just own the Kinect at this point? I mean,
dude, it's awesome.
They seriously, two people doing the dance stuff at the same time, and they're tracking and doing all that without any issue whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
So, yeah.
I think they own the Kinect.
The song there's two songs in the demo, and I only played one, but it's LaRue's Bulletproof, which is super fun. And what is awesome, so like I said, you can go through and do individual practice moves, and then when you're going in and out of menus, they've added Kinect voice commands to the game.
Oh shit.
So you know, if you're standing there and you know what you want to do, you can just say like,
no more of this.
The hand the gesturing, that kind of gesturing for the menu is still in the game, but you could just go like song Bulletproof,
awesome,
difficulty hard, mode Perform It, and then you could just say Xbox Dance, and then the game starts.
That's awesome.
Shit.
So it is,
I'd like to tack onto this that on Twitter, the Harmonix people are some of the most fun people to follow.
Oh, I totally agree.
They tweet hilarious shit on top of tweeting interesting things and talking about the game and stuff.
And they mix their job tweets with very personal and ridiculous tweets, so they're fun. Follow them all on Twitter.
Eric Pope is the guy who tweeted that "Not Gonna Pee My Bed Tonight" song.
That's where that came from. Yes, he did. He's a funny dude.
You know, and to that note, we talked earlier about, you know, what Blizzard is doing and how we're kind of like over this kind of conglomerate corporation smashing you down. And then on the other hand, you have a company like Harmonix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, got splintered off of, like, what was that? EA cut them, or MTV cut
MTV games cut them.
Yeah.
And then EA picked them up.
So if you want to talk about companies that you want to support, you know, that are not like,
who are being innovative and trying new things and having fun in the industry and pushing boundaries.
So
there's a few of them.
Embracing community and actually trying to
absolutely,
you know, make some art.
I'd definitely put Harmonix. I'd put Irrational. I'd probably put BioWare.
Yeah. Good folks.
Yeah. So download this demo, play it, and then get on Twitter and tell these people how awesome their game is.
Yeah.
And then buy their game, because Dance Central 1 was a phenomenal game to begin with.
It was really fun.
Hands down, probably one of the best, if not the best, Kinect game.
Yeah, definitely.
Available. And so they just took an awesome formula and made it better.
Probably second to Kinectimals Naked.
Did you ever, Naked
Still
Kinectimals?
Haven't done that.
Yeah. Well, now I'm waiting. I heard they're adding bears, and I'm waiting for the bears.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
I'm waiting for the bears because, you know.
All right, so we episode 2 of the Felicia Day led Dragon Age Redemption came out this week.
It should be called Dragon Day.
Dragon Days came out this week. We all watched it. Scott and I just watched it a few minutes ago.
Is Felicia Day contractually obligated to bend over in her tunic once per episode?
I didn't notice this time, actually. I watched it at work.
Not a fan of number one.
Yeah.
You were a fan of number one, Ash.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Scott,
I mean,
you were middle road, I think.
I mean, it, like,
you were just kind of like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was more like that too. I wasn't like, this was the best
no
thing
Ash
ever.
I believe you said that you would never watch anything else again other than Dragon Age Redemption.
It's true. That's true.
So we're feeling swayed. Did you change any opinions? Is it better or worse?
I liked episode 2 more than episode 1. There's one thing that just drives me nuts, and that's that with all the great costume creators in the universe, they get some dude to make rubber armor for that Templar. And the rubber Templar armor makes me insane, because most of it looks pretty awesome, right? Like the costumes, like, you know, Talus's armor looks awesome. The elves look like Dalish elves, whatever.
Yeah.
But it looks like they went to, like, you know, Spirit Halloween and grabbed
like the kids. Kids night costume.
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, I'm sorry if your budget's low, but like, you could get someone to donate a pretty awesome, like, suit of armor if you're going to make a Dragon Age costume. And that's my only big qualm. Okay. Is some of the costuming.
I keep feeling like in one of the camera panning shots, we're going to see a family picnicking in the background.
Location's a little off too. And I know they shot it in the hills out in LA someplace. Yeah. So doesn't feel like
it's
a forbidden.
No way. It looks like the mountains of, what is it? Like the Austin
Ferelden or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the series is starting to get some legs under it. I don't know that I'm totally sold on it. I have a question for you guys. Do you think that this entire series should have concluded maybe around the same time they released the DLC, as opposed to doing it the other way around?
That's a really good question. And this DLC takes place before the DLC, right?
This video
takes place before the DLC, right?
I think that that's true, and that's kind of why I asked that question.
It's interesting. I wonder if they were adding more visual effects or something weird like that. I don't know.
It wouldn't affect me. I didn't play it.
Yeah.
Oh, you did not play the DLC.
I didn't play the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Playing the DLC would be difficult.
I guess I just feel like watching this series would have been a better setup to what was happening in that DLC, as opposed to just getting the DLC.
Because it was weird that they came out on the same day. And I don't know which one was really supposed to serve as the introduction to Talus. I almost feel like seeing her in the game would have had more impact had I seen all of Redemption first. And then have her introduced into the Dragon Age universe.
Agreed.
So
I this video makes me no longer wish for a Mass Effect movie.
Really?
I think it's honestly not a knock on the video as much as it is a testament to BioWare's ability to create story and game. Because I watch it and it's like, granted, these aren't all like top-notch actors. I'm not expecting that from a web video, but like, it feels very much like, I feel like I can see the decision wheel come up and then go like, you like this guy. She's like, all right, we're buddies. And like, yeah. It just feels very like, I feel like I can see the points in the game that they're just making, you know, like it didn't feel like we really love Dragon Age. We made an awesome Dragon Age video. It felt like we were like, this game's really good. We just turned the game into live action with people.
Yeah.
Like it didn't feel like anything went beyond.
It does kind of have that vibe.
And it makes me feel like, maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's just that BioWare's so freaking good at making story and at making the game interactive that when you see it in like an acting form, you're just kind of like, huh, because it's too close to a book or a comic is far enough away in medium that I don't feel like I get that same feeling. But a movie or a video, I'm like, ugh, this kind of just feels like I'm watching the game right now with people and I'm not doing anything instead.
Yeah, I can see that. I think it's going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was...
Number two is better than number one. I mean, yeah. I don't think I said that, but this is definitely better than the first one.
I don't know if it was... episodic is the best format for something like this. It should have just been like, here is our brief half-hour movie or however long it's going to be.
Would you, if they... Okay. How many episodes are there going to be? Did they announce
remember.
That?
I don't remember.
Let's say there's 45 minutes of content when this is all said and done. Would you have paid... $5 to download this all at once through like the iTunes store?
Well, I'm not the person to ask. That'd be you.
Me?
I mean, because maybe that's the answer to that question.
I'd pay $5 for it.
Because I mean, if it's episodic, then they can like do ads and put on YouTube.
I would have paid $5 if it came with an in-game item.
I'd be interested to know I'd be interested to know how much Machinima paid to have this series.
Sure. I think we just answered this question.
Machugana? Sorry.
I think $5 in-game item. All one shot.
Yeah.
That would have sold me.
Give you like, or just, geez, make Talus playable.
Let's get into the real shit. There's one thing that happened this week that is above and beyond all other things.
The only thing released this week, was it not?
Of great significance.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Batman Arkham City came out. Ash got it on Tuesday. You got it release day, right?
Yeah.
Started playing it. I saw a few reviews and had to go pick up comics last night anyways, and I was like, F it. I have heard literally nothing negative about this game whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm going to go pick it up and start playing it. My one fear was that, because I didn't play Arkham Asylum, was that I wasn't sure if there was like a big connection to the second one. It seems like there is some story going on.
A bit, yeah.
But that it wasn't hard for me to pick up at all and start playing.
It takes place so long after the events of... Arkham Asylum that it's really not, you know, it's not imperative to have played the first game. Obviously the mechanics are very similar. You carry over like all the equipment that you got in the first game because it's Batman's, all Batman stuff. Like,
and I will say that if you, having not played the first game, when the second game starts, there's no training or beginning mode. It's just like, and you're playing.
Do you have all your shit now? Is that what you're telling me?
Not immediately. If you get the Catwoman character, you actually start as Catwoman with her stuff. So,
which is awesome.
It's awesome.
How do you get the Catwoman character?
You buy the game new.
Oh, okay. Let me ask a question about this game that I wasn't super stoked on about the last game. Is it still like Metroid in the sense that like...
Yes and no. And that's a great. So the format that Scott's referring to, and a lot of people that listen know this, they call it Metroidvania, and it means that, you know, you can't access certain parts of the game until you get certain equipment, and you basically start off as underpowered and you start to power up, and as you power up it gives you more access to areas in the game.
And you end up doing a lot of like map backtracking.
Yeah. That claustrophobic feeling is totally gone. You have this beautiful like massive chunk of Gotham City to kind of explore, and they keep saying it's not open world. I'm like,
it's pretty much open world.
I'm pretty much almost done with the game, and it's like pretty much
They probably mean it's not open world in the sense that you can just run down any street you want,
but for the most part you can,
but you're saying that the environments are big enough that it's close enough.
Well, the thing, I think the reason why they say
it to like Assassin's Creed 1's map,
yeah,
where you have big chunks of the city that you can kind of run around, and it seems like they open as
and then they'll be like, you'll have like map sections, like one will be like Penguin's Club, and you'll like open the door, and then you'll be in Penguin's Club, and it's a pretty big map.
That's totally fine.
And then you'll be like in Gotham City Police Department, and you know.
But when you're in the city, you're just you can go anywhere in the city. Yeah, there's
you
no
you can glide around. All your gadgets.
How do you possibly improve upon the combat of the first Batman game?
Well, the combat's virtually identical. You have more moves at your disposal now.
That close combat system from the first is amazing.
Can I say, I watched enough of Arkham Asylum, but with this one, what I would say, how you improve it, is I don't know that I see moves repeat in a fight.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Like, you're fighting, you're throwing, everything's super fluid, and your counter system is, like, ridiculously fluid. So you're fighting, and you're punching, and you're countering, and you're doing this over and over and over again. And in a normal game, you would see, like, a counter. You might have 5 or 6 counter animations that, like, you know, you hit him, you counter, you do something. I swear to God, I do not see them repeat. Like, you do one thing, you'll punch a dude in the face, and then grab another guy's arm and, like, swing him over and punch him into the ground, and then, like, grab the other guy's leg and flip him over your head. Like, it's like... And it's all happening just as if nothing was going, you know, it's just super fluid and smooth.
Yeah.
No repetition and moves.
Christina was watching me play it, and she's like, "Are you controlling all of that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am. I'm pretty fucking awesome, aren't I?" Like, you know, you get to like a 15, 16 hit chain, like chain combo, and you're just like, you know, in a groove with that combat system, and it feels amazing.
Yes.
Like, there's like when you, and then you, like, you feel shitty when you get hit once. You're like, "Fuck, I got hit." Like, that's how badass you are as
not
Batman.
Not when you're in hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not playing in hard. Fuck that.
The system is, like, robust, you know, but it's not, like, complicated to a fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, I think, they found, like, the sweet spot.
They did. You know? Yeah, because they don't punish you for hitting a counter early. They don't punish you for, even in hard mode. Like, I mean, they do if you hit it once and then just sit there and wait for them to punch you. Yes, you'll get punched. Mm-hmm. But if you hit it early and like, double or triple tap it, like, you'll still grab the guy and do a counter. You might not do as awesome of a counter if you time it, like, perfectly, because there is a timing factor inside of that kind of stuff. But man, I don't think I've ever played a more gratifying, like, hand-to-hand combat game.
It's right up there, definitely, with the Assassin's Creed games in terms of just, like...
I think it's...
You think it's better?
Yeah, and I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, if I didn't know you that you had picked it up until I got here, and I was going to say, like, Matt, you got to play this, especially for an Assassin's Creed fan. It's just very...
I feel like it puts Assassin's Creed to shame.
Oh, man.
Like, honestly, like, because the free running
is
awesome.
Fighting words.
Yeah.
Well, the free running is awesome. Like, the gliding works. Everything works really well and really, like... I mean, come on, you have to admit in Assassin's Creed, the combat is not why you're playing Assassin's Creed. It's a little blocky, it's like, it works, and then sometimes it doesn't work, and like, the counter system is really kind of punishing if you don't time things correctly. If you miss a counter in Assassin's Creed, you're fucked for a minute. Like, the guy's gonna brutalize you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Batman, they kind of like, edged it a little bit in the other direction, and I'm playing on hard, I don't know if I, like,
yeah.
And hard is hard, it's extremely hard.
I think I played the first one on hard, and I remember it being quite
I tried to switch it, put it that way. I tried to see, and you can't.
Yeah.
Once you lock into a setting, you're going through the game that way. And I was like, because I died like 7 times in a fight, and I was just like, I can't. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought of another question because of that. Stealth elements, that was a big part of the first game.
Still in the game. Definitely, it rewards you for, because you can have basically instant kills on enemies that are
silent takedowns, right?
Yep. You can still do the silent takedowns. You can do later on double silent takedowns, double ledge kills, things like that.
Yeah.
All of those still exist. But since the world is so open, it gives you a lot more combat opportunities. You can basically go up on the top of the highest building, do a scan, see where everybody is, plan your attack that way, and then use your gadgets
to take
down
groups of enemies.
I did feel
like, and maybe it's just because I'm not that good with the system yet, I did feel like where I'm at, sometimes I would go up and I'd look and I'd be like, okay, there's 4 guys. Maybe if I do this, that ultimately I would end up in a fist fight anyways.
Well, it depends. Like,
When you're in like a building map.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of places to jump. That's not what I'm talking about. But like, when you're coming up to a place and there's just 5 dudes standing on the ground and you're just up on a building,
mm-hmm.
and you jump down there and you like, you know, kick one guy out. And then you try to go do something. It's like, ultimately, you're just like, nope, this is a fist fight part. Like, you can't get around that.
Yeah, there's like a lot. There are some areas where guys are just in alleys. There's not much you can do. You can't like go stealth take them all out. But.
Yeah.
Well, in the first game, they had like these set pieces that were kind of like almost like Splinter Cell maps where you basically, mm-hmm. the game was telling you like the best way to kill these guys is by stealth.
Mm-hmm.
So is there like, are there pieces like that in this game still.
There's still, yeah. I just got through a part that's, it's not a spoiler, but you come across an area where there are five or six armed, like heavily armed guys with like Kevlar and assault rifles. Mm-hmm. And they take a woman hostage, like literally like in the headlock hostage situation. And right. you have to take pretty much all of them out without getting noticed or the hostage gets capped. It adds a lot to the tension, but it really forces you to kind of practice your stealth moves.
And man, if you try to hand to hand a guy with a gun,
oh yeah, you're getting lit up. It's not,
it's not forgiving.
No, it's not good.
Is there even anything bad? Is there really like, if you wanted to nitpick, I mean,
well, plot wise. It is so, I'm like, and this is totally spoiler free. It is so brilliantly done. Like the idea, the concept behind it is the mayor of Gotham is corrupt. He basically gets bought into turning a giant chunk of Gotham, the city itself, into the prison. So there is no more Arkham Asylum. It is called Arkham City. So all the supervillains, all the criminals get thrown into this walled in portion of the city that's completely blocked off from the rest of the city. So obviously the criminals all get to live their lives inside the city. So there's
like
clubs.
Escape from New York is a
yeah. So it has this post-apocalyptic, dark feeling. And there's a gang war going on between all these different criminal factions that would happen if these people were all locked in the city together. So you have like the Riddler's guys and you have the Penguin's guys and you have the Joker's guys, and they're all these different gangs all vying for control of the city. And you're in there in the middle of all this shit and trying to like figure out the plot of the story, which I'm not going to get into.
Cool. Yeah.
But so well done. And yeah. It definitely, you have this dark, like you want to get the fuck out, but at the same time you want to solve what's going on.
It's very Escape from New York.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's anything like, if I had to be super nitpicky, I would say that it can be easy to get a little lost sometimes when you're just in the city.
Yeah.
But the radar system's pretty good if you pay attention to where you're supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no real, like, I mean, there's a map marker and then there's a radar. So like you've got those two things that can kind of work together. But really, when you're just flying around, it's easy to get turned around. Or if you F up gliding and you land in the middle of the street, especially on hard, and there's a group of 12 guys down there, there's a good chance you're not surviving it and you have to start over. But I would say that the save points are very forgiving.
Yeah.
Very forgiving.
30 seconds back, pretty much.
Yeah, like cool. You die and you're not 30 minutes back. You're like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. I'm right at the beginning of that door.
The box art says that this game is 3D compatible.
Yep.
What's the deal with that? Does that just do like the whole, like,
there's some 3D mode on it?
The goggle, like, split the vision?
I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
It's fascinating. I didn't know. I mean,
I shy away from 3D. It's kind of,
well, it's just nice to see this feature coming to 360 games.
I do have to talk about how this game looks visually.
Oh.
It's using the newest version of the Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
Holy fucking crap. It is so unreal. Good. Like, I literally, like, and I'm not just like giving this game a BJ, but.
But you will.
But you stand there and just the animation on the cape alone is worth like $50. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the game looks just amazing.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Concluding remarks?
Well, there is a whole bunch of, like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with this game, like the different skins and stuff like that. Like Matt said, he got Robin for getting it at Best Buy. I got the animated Batman suit.
So are these, wait a minute. So you said there's Catwoman in the game. That's a playable character?
Catwoman, unique moves.
Story is, yeah, she has her own story that you get for buying the game new.
And then there are skins that for Batman to wear.
I don't think Robin's a skin.
I think Robin is a character.
Robin's another character you can play.
You can play. Yeah. Which is better than the skin I got.
And I did want to note that like we complain about day one DLC a lot. We complain about, you know, like, obviously it's just a chunk of the game missing. And I would totally agree that Catwoman is a chunk of the game missing if you don't get it.
Yeah.
But the only reason it's not, to me, it doesn't feel like day one DLC. It feels like, hey, buy the game new.
Yeah,
not used for $5 less at GameStop, and you get a whole other chunk of the game. Yeah. You know?
And she is a blast to play as. Oh, she's awesome. Pretty awesome.
I was really worried about her traveling the city because I was like, you know, it makes so much sense with the
grappling hook
and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, oh, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't know, it'd be weird as Catwoman, but then the system works perfectly. You she just literally will like free dive and then like whip into the building all of a sudden.
It's so good. It's so good. I can't wait to just run around as her when I'm done with the game.
That Catwoman bundle will set you back $10 if you buy the game used.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's, well, there's also like, there's also skins that I went and grabbed a can of NOS. And if you grab a can of NOS.
Did you find it? Derek and I were looking.
I found a can of NOS. It took me a little while. But you pop the cap in the NOS and it has a DLC code for the Batman Beyond skin. Yeah. And it looks awesome.
Does it really?
It looks really good. Like the skins are all really well done because you can't play as them until you beat the game. And then you can play as the different skins or you can play as them in the challenge mode. So I went into a challenge mode in order to try the Batman Beyond skin, and it looks really, really good. It's not like they went half-assed on it. It's a totally different model. It's not just a reskin.
So is he like lankier?
He's
like
lankier. Yeah, he's a little bit taller. Cool. He doesn't have a cape because it's Batman Beyond.
But he has wings.
He has the wing flaps. Yeah. So when he does, you know, that turnaround move with the cape where you stun a guy?
Yeah.
He does that, but with like just his arms. It's pretty cool.
Supposedly you can get Nightwing somehow too. I don't remember how you get Nightwing.
Driving me crazy.
There's so many characters.
I want to get everybody like Pokemon.
Nightwing
now.
Might be another playable character though.
Yeah.
I don't know, because there's four different Batman skins.
Not really.
Or three or four Batman skins, and then Catwoman, Robin, and Nightwing.
Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're literally, honestly, there's no reason not to go buy this game at completely full price and play it. It is that fucking good. It is really good.
I'm a good way into the campaign, and I have to say that story-wise, really well done.
And I do not say lightly that this blows Assassin's Creed out of the water. I think this is what the next Assassin's Creed will feel like. I think they're out a little bit ahead of Assassin's Creed on this game, but it's that same kind of, the free running's awesome. The combat is flawless. Like, story's great. And it's like, this is what I want the next Assassin's Creed to be, just Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
I think we liked it.
Yeah. So good, dude. So good. Let's just take a 2-second break and then we'll be right back. You sure? I got it. You sure? I got it. You sure? I got it. You sure? Non-touch like the band, knuckle regiment, stamina specimen, veterans out, forget it. Pulled it from the resin of the 12 titans, excellence, all in one element, hell of a man-made weapon. Champion status, the weight of world on my shoulders, like Atlas, thrown to the lines, a ravenous hide of the mountainous. The floods, a blizzard, cyclone on the Atlantic, or the internal mantle resolve of one owns practice. Encounter, the wonder of the tower, high power forces, torn by challenges, rise up through metamorphosis. Setbacks, turned upside down, only reinforces that every lesson learned a prime time, like outperforming. Kung Fu grip, with the seven samurai touch. Once I get started, a raging bull with the claws. Hit him up, dodge a hook, go get him up. Dynamite punch, you're done, body blow up a cut. You sure? I got it. All right, you guys just heard Mark Dago, also known as Killscreen. That song was called Dynamite Punch. Give him a listen at Bandcamp. Thank you, Mark, for submitting that track to us. All right.
I believe the album is a free download.
A free download. Yep, Bandcamp.com.
MarkDago.bandcamp.com.
Good deal.
Awesome. So this week's open thread / Twitter question kind of leads out of the Batman Arkham City and somewhat of the Spider-Man game. Why are comic book games generally so terrible, and how did Rocksteady pull off the impossible? Which I think is the bigger part of that question, because I think we've actually talked about comic book games being terrible before.
We have a little bit, yeah.
But so you just heard our review of Arkham City. It is clearly Rocksteady's doing that made that game so good.
Yes.
So what is it? What sells it for you? And I think Arkham Asylum too, which was also a great game. So,
well, I think it's definitely Rocksteady went ahead and did something that I think a lot of publishers are afraid to do. They said, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take this IP, and we are not going to we're not going to mess with it at all. We're going to look at all the source material. We're going to take the best elements of all the source material, and we're going to make a great game based on that source material and make the best game we can that doesn't take away from the actual character at all and only adds to that character. So that's what I think is great about these Batman games. It's like Batman can't do anything that Batman can't do. The characters that exist in these Batman games are true to the original vision of the writers of these characters.
Yeah.
And it's just insanely well done.
Scott?
I wonder if this is kind of like the same argument, like, why are movie games so bad? You know what I mean? It's hard to figure out like what the mindset is, but I mean, because this, in a way, you can even say the same thing for like the two Transformers games that were based off of the movies, like
versus the ones that are based off of the source material, comics and cartoons.
And I feel like maybe with these Spider-Man games and those two Transformers games in particular, it's just like an issue of like, hey, we need to put something out there.
Well, the Spider-Man games are unique though because they're not really tied to a movie or anything really. They're just kind of keep putting them out. I mean, there's been one almost every year.
Yeah, but like I guess what's common among these games is that they're all kind of brawlers.
Yeah.
But you know, this game mechanic is so good in Batman that even if and this it would be hard to separate the two, but even if the story was somehow bad for this game, at least you could say this game had a great like fighting mechanic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the story and the mechanic are great in Batman. So why can't you have one or both of those things in the other games?
Yeah, I think there's parts about the Batman series that kind of cheat the system because he has all these gadgets. And with all these gadgets, you can pretty much accomplish anything and you won't ever second guess. Oh, like Bruce Wayne would never have that. It's like he can have whatever the fuck he wants. It's like he doesn't have powers, but he has access to anything. And like, you know, the Bat computer in these games is used constantly, from your maps to your waypoints to like, you know, just different forensic tools, and you never second guess the use of those tools because, you know, it's something that Batman would actually have.
So maybe Batman the character just happens to be a great vehicle for video games.
There have been horrible Batman games put out too.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I don't know if any in this particular generation. But I know in the olden days there were definitely some bad Batman games.
People liked that NES Batman, did they not? I thought that was a crowd pleaser back then.
I don't remember it, man.
There was a Sega one that was god awful.
I never played it myself. I just heard about it.
Yeah, I think also there's this idea. I would apply the same argument that you did, I guess, and the same one that I applied to Iron Man, the first movie, which is when good creators take good source material and then just like basically put their spin on something that exists in its own world, it ends up usually being really good. I feel like when people take the source idea and then just, I'm just gonna, you know, like Iron Man's gonna be you know, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow shit on the character and shit on the history. That's when things go wrong. You know, like I actually this week, for unknown reasons, it was on Netflix and I was like, oh, I'll watch it. I only got 15 minutes into it. I watched Batman Forever.
Oh, man.
So Batman 1 and 2, classics and good.
Yeah.
You know, not super original, not super faithful to the comic, but good. Then Batman Forever was the Val Kilmer one with Two-Face and Riddler, which was Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. And then the one after that is Batman... Batman and Robin,
yes,
with George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell, and that one I always thought was the worst. And somehow in my head, I'd always been like, "Well, Forever wasn't horrible." And I started watching it; it's fucking horrible. It's like not even jokingly good. It's just bad.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing. It's like they don't hold to the character at all. It's like the story is hokey. It has nothing to do with the comic.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what the game, like you said, it's just Rocksteady was like, well, we've got an awesome fighting mechanic that obviously fits with this character. What if we just take the existing realm and make it cool and livable?
Maybe the key is fitting the game to the character, because with this X-Men game, the Destiny that we just played, I feel like the character is interchangeable. It could have been anybody. It could have been a Ninja Turtle. It could have been it could have been a robot that shot I-beams. Like it doesn't matter. Like you put any other character in that game and in that story and it's the same game. But this game is clearly Batman's game.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe the key to making these games is like taking your character and building your game around what that character is capable of doing.
Yeah, and there are instances in Arkham City where Batman does have to take on characters that would be as powerful as someone that would fight Superman. Like cosmic level characters kind of show up in this game, and Batman has to use his intelligence to beat them. Yes.
I don't know. My brain is already putting together who that would be. Go ahead. No, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Anyway, so yeah, he has to use his intelligence multiple times with the help of the Bat computer to kind of figure out how do you beat something this powerful. And it's amazing because you're using, you never, there's never like, oh, all of a sudden I just need to, you know, get in the bat robot suit. Now I can, now I can beat this guy. That doesn't happen. You're always just going to be Batman. You're a mortal man, but you got to use your intellect to get past these parts. And that makes for an amazing experience.
So from the Twitter wall, Onyx Primal says, I think it's because they didn't need to make a movie release or DVD release. They took the time to craft a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I think that's true to a point, but then it's like we said with the Spider-Man games or other games, it's like there's plenty that fall flat that have nothing to do with movies or DVDs. But that is definitely a truth as far as games that are comic book or movie related in general.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there too. I think it's definitely time, patience, and understanding your property are very, very important. You know, these guys obviously really love Batman. I mean, they went back and they grabbed the old animated Batman series voice cast. They're all back for this. Yeah. And it's like, you can tell they have a lot of passion for the series and they
except
dump
for the Penguin. I don't think it's the same guy.
It's a Cockney guy
it's
now.
Like a Cockney
oh,
guy.
Batman, how you doing? It's me, the Penguin.
And real quick, is Onyx Primal's Twitter icon a mashup of a Imperial logo and the Watchmen logo?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
It is. It's pretty rad.
It's fascinating.
We like your logo.
And then Midtown 583, our friend Justin says, because comic games generally want to cash in on a movie tie-in rather than cater to the fans, Rocksteady is the opposite, which I think is true. And I think also I heard on, I know we mentioned it, it's a great podcast, so you should be listening to it, but feedback, Blair Herder was talking that he was at New York Comic Con. He was talking to one of the guys from DC, and he said, oh, I bet you're excited this week. You know, Arkham City came out, and he said, yeah. He goes, yeah, it's all right. And he's like, what? And he goes, well, if he named one of the somebody that didn't give them a 10, I guess. He was like, if this one person had given us 0.4 more points, we would be our Metacritic score would be what Thor and Captain America got combined.
Oh, wow.
That's
like,
funny.
And like Blair Herder's point was like, it was just cool to see somebody who has nothing to do with the game. He's DC Comics. Like,
yeah.
He's not Warner Brothers. He's not Rocksteady. Be just excited about a title that has something to do with one of their characters, you know?
Right.
And it's really cool to see like them being into
it. Very tightly woven together. Very cool.
At the same time, a sad commentary on the game development business that really is the thing that matters now is Metacritic score. That's not the
sucks.
First time I've heard that.
Well, that's outside of the game business, but yeah.
But I'm saying it's not the first time I've heard somebody use that as the metric of success for a video game.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I go to Rotten Tomatoes and look at movie scores before I go see them.
I'll look at Metacritic, but I know for certain reviewing sites purposefully review games at a lower scale to throw that Metacritic. So it's a broken scale.
You have to read between the lines.
Yeah, people go in there and sabotage Metacritic all the time.
Well, I mean, ultimately, though, I usually... The reason I don't look at Metacritic most of the time is because I know the reviewers that think kind of along the same or play the same way that I do, and then I've got, you know, like you guys and stuff that I'd rather hear from people than from a number.
Agreed.
That was a sidetrack.
That's what we do here.
Yep.
But yeah, so you know, Arkham City, total success, probably because Rocksteady, as Justin said, caters to their fans, and they weren't rushed, you know, as Onyx Primal says, to meet a DVD or a movie timeline. But everybody needs to copy that model because it obviously works and sells
indeed.
Like gangbusters.
Imagine how fucking good an X-Men game would be like in this format.
Who is not waiting for that to happen?
God. Guys, make a fucking game. That's good.
There's their MMO coming out.
Marvel's MMO?
Mm-hmm.
We'll
see.
No.
Maybe that
sounds like a
title.
That's
the title.
That's the title.
No.
Because we talked about WoW earlier. That totally fits.
Oh, man.
Nicely all right. Done.
Well, that is episode 41, and that's it for this week. So this should be up. I'm striving for this week to get all of them up so we can get this on time again.
And that being said, clearly at this point there would be back episodes for you to listen to, so we would encourage you to check those out.
Yep.
And as always, we will ask you to... maybe give us a rating on iTunes if you like us, because that makes us feel better about ourselves.
Because Scott's an iPhone fanboy now, so he wants everything on iTunes.
We'll save for... That's a discussion for another time.
So please go rate us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, @NerdAppropriate. Facebook/NerdAppropriate. My house is NerdAppropriate.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
I got it. Damage from the trial, tribulations anticipated. A lesser person might have been so manipulated with a dark, dangerous showcase illustrated. A playground of atrocity where evil originated. What could go wrong? Won't give it a second guess. Don't ask for any help, won't be no other attempt. All for the ultimate quest, a warrior approach. The challenge is met, the moment that you expect. Face death, go on and on. Get it together, out of perfection nothing can be brought. Fight for the better, like a phoenix from the ash. Dragon slave for the treasure. Born like this, to live from your own center. Destroy to create, till my power's enough. To write my name on the face of the world, all at once. Hit 'em up, dodge a hook, go get 'em up. Dynamite punch, you're done, body blow up a cut. You sure? I got it. You sure? I got it. You sure? I got it.